Thank you, Nathan. It's good to be here with you this morning. Not since 2021. I did ask for a raise, and I guess I didn't go over well. This morning, I'd like you to have you open your Bible, if you would be so kind, to Colossians chapter 1. And our text this morning are verses 12 and 13. Excuse me, 13 and 14. And I'll be reading from the ESV version. Father, be with us this morning as we open your word. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain, the realm of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom, to the realm of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do we have any King Jamers here this morning? People reading, good. King James adds to that verse, through his blood. It's kind of neat. This is probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the book. And I say that because it's one of the most profound. In one breath, we can extrapolate the marvelous doctrines of salvation, imputation, redemption, deliverance, eternal security, and more. But there are two things I want you to focus on this morning, two critical things to note about this verse right out of the box. First, note that there are two kingdoms, two realms. A kingdom or a realm where souls exist, ruled by a ruler or a sovereign. And every person that you meet exists in one of these two kingdoms, either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of Christ's Son, or God's Son, Jesus Christ. The realm of darkness or the realm of Christ's kingdom. We will look carefully at these two realms, examining them for what they are, their specific characteristics, and how we navigate through their complexities. Let's talk about the kingdom of darkness to begin, because that's mentioned first. You can't have a kingdom without a ruler. There's a ruler in the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving the wrath of God. I'll read a more modern translation, the GNT, Good News for Modern Man, one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites because it's one of the first Bibles I ever read as a Christian. In the past, it says in the GNT, in the past you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sin. At that time, you followed the world's evil way. You obeyed the ruler of the spiritual powers in space, the spirit who now controls the people who disobey God. Actually, all of us were like them and lived according to our natural desires, doing whatever suited the wishes of our own body and minds. And in our natural condition, like everyone else, we were destined to suffer God's anger. In this kingdom, the ruler's agenda is well known, but obfuscated by sophisticated socio and economic philosophies, mostly humanistic based, save the whales, save the dolphins, rescue the puppies. World systems like socialism, communism, and deceptive educational structures. And he has been entirely successful at duping the world that good is evil, and evil is good. Jesus nailed it when he said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will steal your soul, your life, and lead you down the road to the bottomless pit with flowers in his hair, a rainbow flag, and a smile on his face." John MacArthur says this: Satan is the liar king. He is the liar king. He has a massive supernatural force of demons against whom we wrestle. His children are liars. The kingdom of darkness is known by its lies. This has penetrated the most sacred halls of our government, the Supreme Court. In 2013, the United States Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act to make way for homosexual behavior in marriage, and actually declared in their filing that religious objections to homosexuality come from hate. God is out. Prayer is out. The Ten Commandments are out. Get those off the wall. The Bible is out. Blasphemy is in. Immorality is to be protected. In fact, laws are to be made and enforced to normalize perversion. The stench of death is everywhere in this kingdom, seen in the destruction of marriages and families. Immorality on a scale that no one could have ever even imagined. It is now celebrated and normalized, so that even decent people are confused and sucked into the morass. And guess what? We have all existed in this realm. In this realm, there is no hope. Remember, Ephesians says, that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. The end of this kingdom, Revelation 20:13 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." That's the kingdom of darkness. Scripture says this morning, God's word says, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, the realm of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the second thing I want you to note this morning about this passage. There is a possibility to transfer from the dominion of darkness, from the realm of darkness, to the other kingdom, which is the kingdom of God's own Son, to be rescued. And so it begs the question, actually begs three questions this morning. Why would I want to transfer? Well, I think I just answered that one pretty clearly. The second question is, what happens when I do? And the third is, how can I transfer from one kingdom to another? I'm going to share with you a story this morning, and I want to see if you can answer those questions from the story. I was stationed in Germany and lived in a beautiful German mountain town called Georgenborn, just outside of Wiesbaden. This is where all the doctors and the lawyers and the executives lived. It was a beautiful town. And how I got a place to live there was a miracle story totally separate that I can't share with you this morning, because I only had one stripe. I was the lowest rank that you could possibly have. And here I was in this gorgeous town. Gunther Fischer was my neighbor upstairs from me. Gunther was a young German executive. He was brilliant. He worked for IBM. He was married to beautiful Florence Fischer. She was from Paris. Gunther was your typical German, formal, rigid. He was a master mechanic, had a beautiful Mercedes that he worked on like a skilled neurosurgeon. He had the white coat and all, custom leather fender to protect the outside of his car. His tools were pristine. We became friends. I was very involved in ministry then with the Navigators, and I invited the group from the base to our Thanksgiving dinner there in this little town in Georgenburg, and I invited Gunther and Florence. And they came, and they observed our tradition of giving thanks, and Gunther asked me about it later. You see, Germans have no Thanksgiving Day like we do. I explained that we gather to give thanks to God, and Gunther's reaction was, "Gott, just a theory." Gunther Fischer heard the gospel. He believed, and so did his wife. And Gunther Fischer became a missionary. Transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son. What an incredible transformation. Realm shift. That's what we call it. Realm shift. You see, you cannot encounter Christ and not be changed. Dr. Michael Horton says, God is not a supporting actor in my life movie. One of two things will be true for folks who encounter Christ. They will either respond to him and be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, or they'll be like, Jesus is just all right with me. You know, like one of those people. You ever see them? Those happy faces? Yeah. Jim Wilkes says this. Jim Wilkes is a former elder at Grace Bible Church in Cranston. The realm shift is not an abstraction. We have been moved into a new realm. The transfer is real. We have been made participants of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The new realm is real. So is the realm that we were members of before, the realm of darkness. The scripture speaks of that realm as this present evil age. In this age, fallen, fallible, flawed, and foolish people dominate the landscape. The world is broken. We must understand that it is broken in sin. Salvation changes everything for believers. And one new way to view our salvation is that we've had a transfer in terms of realms, the realm shift. Let's examine that transfer. Let's examine the transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Realm shift. And we'll see what the dynamics are. As we explore this marvelous truth this morning, I want you to especially to take note of the three T's of realm shift. Transfer, transition, and trusting. The transfer. Transferring from the dominion of darkness, from the realm of darkness into God's kingdom is a supernatural act. There is no fixing the corrupt, sinful nature. John MacArthur says this. So how do you get out of the kingdom of darkness that will be destroyed and is being destroyed into the kingdom of light? What do you do to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? You must be regenerate. And that's a work from heaven. You must repent. That's a work of the Spirit. The Spirit does to convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. You must recognize your spiritual bankruptcy and poverty, and that there's no righteousness which can at all satisfy God's requirement for a kingdom citizen. You must understand that you are utterly dependent, that you have nothing to offer God. You come like a child. with no accomplishments. This, summing it all up, as Mark does, MacArthur says, you have to believe the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. The true kingdom is here. That's the method. Excuse me. That's the need to transfer. The method that God uses to transfer us is called being born again. You know, I became a Christian in the 70s when that term was just bantied around, and they had the Jesus movement, and people were saying, yeah, you got to be born again. Everybody's born. And finally, it became almost a derision. If people looked at you and they would say to you, are you one of those born-again Christians? Yeah. It's a spiritual truth. Jesus said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, I'm sorry, 1 Peter says this, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. Realm shift. John 3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Realm shift. John 3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Realm shift. John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He has passed from death to life. Realm shift. Giving thanks to the Father, Colossians 1, our text this morning, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. He has delivered us from the domain, from the realm of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Realm shift. Ephesians 1, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in him, were stamped with the promised Holy Spirit as one who was owned and protected by God. The Spirit promised is the guarantee and the installment, the pledge, and as the Amplified Bible says, a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession. His believers, to the praise of his glory, realm shift. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Realm shift. As a person is shifted into this new realm, guess what? There's a new ruler in this realm. There's a new ruler in this kingdom. There's a new Lord. Thomas said when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God, Lord, Master, King, Ruler, Sovereign, our own Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them, all authority, all power, all absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And as we transition now into this new life, it is life changing. New Lord, new hope, new trajectory. One of the most major transitions is the way that God has ordained for us to grow and to thrive, and that's through the living body of Christ, the church. And I'm going to tell you, I've been around a bit. I did not understand the dynamic of the spiritual nature of the church. In fact, I rejected it as a necessary nuisance. I didn't like church. I found it to be a religious duty. I found it to often be a drudgery. And one Sunday, I even said to my wife, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to skip church today. And she said to me, but Dave, you're the pastor. I got a revelation from the book of Revelation. Catch this picture. The seven churches in Revelation are representative of the universal body of Christ expressed in local assemblies. Now listen to this with that in mind. Revelation 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw the seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. And as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. What I realize is that this is how God works. He moves amongst the church, the living body. The body of Christ is how he works. It's where the word of God flourishes and is taught and is honored and obeyed by his servants. He moves amongst us. He is in the body, the church. It gives a new insight into the passage that says, where two or three are gathered, there am I in their midst. Do you see that? Christ is the ruler of this new realm and the ruler of the church. Ephesians 1, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In the church, we're blessed by the graces of baptism and the Lord's table. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are physical representations of the realm shift. Baptism is the public declaration that I have chosen to move from one kingdom to another, and it's publicly declared before the church. So is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the picture of the realm shift. It is where we proclaim him as Lord until he returns. Transferred, transitioned, and now where do we go from here? Trust. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A life of faith as we live in the flesh, navigating that narrow road to eternal life, it is a life of progressively trusting Christ. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, do what? So live in him, rooted built, established, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Love, genuine love, genuine joy, genuine peace, genuine hope. We harvest the fruit of God's Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Those in the kingdom of darkness pay millions of dollars for those characteristics and attributes that we receive as part of God's kingdom. And as an added bonus, as we've made this transition, as we've trusted Christ, as an added bonus, we are privileged to be useful servants to the Master, making an impact in the world that we live in. 1 Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy a nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Realm shift. Just before I came here this morning, I stopped to grab a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, and I was in the parking lot, and a gentleman drove up, and we started a conversation. He told me he had a heart transplant. It's a young man, about 40, 45, 50. And I had the greatest conversation with him. I said, well, you know, God wants to give you a new heart, another heart. Joe, we'll remember Joe this morning. In conclusion, I want to say this to you this morning. The realm shift is real. He has delivered us from the domain, from the realm of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And in that kingdom, we have redemption, the forgiveness of his sins through his blood. It is not an abstraction. This is real. The founding fathers of this country, having thrown off the oppressive tyranny of the British and its oppressive ruler, had a saying. This is what they would say. We have no king but King Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to say to you, we have no king, we have no other ruler but the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this powerful reality. Lost, enslaved, without hope, transferred to your kingdom where there is wholeness, forgiveness, assurance, and eternal hope. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Please, God, we ask, use us to impact others around us with this wonderful gift. May we serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen.